grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Subhanallah. But first and foremost, those of you that watch Arise and Shine know that we begin with the blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, and then we have the privilege, the honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. With regards to the blessings of Durood-e Pak, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that whoever recited the Holy Quran, glorified Allah azza wa jal, recited his salat upon the Prophet, and then asked for forgiveness from Allah azza wa jal, he has sought goodness from its source. So by reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reading the Quran, you've sought goodness from the source. And what is the source? The source of everything is Allah azza wa jal. So make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak. Whenever you do dua, before you do dua, recite Durood-e Pak. Afterwards, recite Durood-e Pak and make a habit of it. And the reason why we are doing this every single day, viewers of my channel, is we have the intention, well, my intention anyway is, and the hope is that our viewers become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak. Please make a habit of doing it. In our daily routines, there are times where we're doing things, but we could do more. For example, you're traveling to work, you could recite Durood-e Pak whilst you're traveling. You are waiting for something to happen, you're waiting for a customer, you're waiting to see the doctor, the dentist, or whatever it is. During this time, you know, utilize that time properly, because we don't know how long we've got, and utilize it in reciting Durood-e Pak. Who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of the channel, we're now going to go and listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Please listen to the verses attentively. Whenever the Holy Quran is recited, be it in your houses, be it in the masjid, be it live on TV or whatever, then please, for the few moments of time, listen to it attentively. It is disrespectful to the Quran not to listen to the Quran when it is being recited. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالی کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون
مردوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے
وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصیبا مفروضا
اور عورتوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے ترکہ تھوڑا ہو یا بہت حصہ ہے اندازہ باندھا ہوا
وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا
پھر بانٹتے وقت اگر رشتہ دار اور یتیم اور مسکین آ جائیں تو اس میں سے انہیں بھی کچھ دو اور ان سے اچھی بات کہو
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا
اور ڈرے وہ لوگ کہ اگر اپنے بعد ناتواں اولاد چھوڑتے تو ان کا کیسا انہیں خطرہ ہوتا تو چاہیے کہ اللہ سے ڈریں اور سیدھی بات کریں
ان الذين ياكلون اموال اليتامى ظلما انما ياكلون في بطونهم نارا
وہ جو یتیموں کا مال ناحق کھاتے ہیں وہ تو اپنے پیٹ میں نری آگ بھرتے ہیں
وسيصلون سعيرا
اور کوئی دم جاتا ہے کہ بھڑکتے دھڑے یعنی بھڑکتی آگ میں جائیں گے۔
یوصیکم اللہ فی اولادکم للذکر مثل حظ الانثیین،
اللہ تمہیں حکم دیتا ہے تمہاری اولاد کے بارے میں بیٹے کا حصہ دو بیٹیوں برابر۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ویورز آف مدری چینل، جسٹ ہیو دی پریویلیج ٹو لسن ٹو سم ورسز آف دی ہولی قرآن، اینڈ وی لسن دی ٹرانسلیشن ایز ویل۔ اینڈ دی ٹرانسلیشن ان دس پرٹیکولر کیس واز ان دی اردو لینگویج، اینڈ دی ٹرانسلیشن واز ٹیکن فرام دی فیمس ٹرانسلیشن کنز الایمان دیٹ واز ریٹن بائی امام احمد رضا، may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him for this. Viewers of the channel, I've said it before, I'm going to continue to say this, is that please make sure that you have a copy of the translation of the Quran in your house. Alhamdulillah, I have this positive thoughts, if you want to say that, I believe that every household will have a copy of the Quran, the Arabic obviously, but if you have the translation as well and read the Arabic, read the translation as well. And the best translation to have is Kanzul Iman. This has also been translated into the language of English, be in the Urdu form or be in the English form. You can download it completely free of charge from our website, www.dawatislami.net. And like I said, if you read the Quran on a daily basis, read the translation on a daily basis, inshallah azza wa jal, there'll be a change inside you. You know, I've said it before, I'm going to give this example. I like this example, that you know when water drops on a stone, it drops on a stone. And when water drops on a stone, if it keeps on dropping on that stone in the same place, then what happens is a hole is made inside that stone. Water can make a hole in a stone. Water changes the courses of the land. In the same way, if drops of Quran fall on our heart on a daily basis, inshallah, azza wa jal, there'll be a change in our hearts as well. And Amir al-Sunnat and the Madri Namaz card advises us to read at least 3 verses of the Quran with translation and commentary. And not only in our households, if we do this, you know, when you're in your household, and if you've made this intention, okay, I've listened to the brother, I'm going to read 3 verses of the Quran every day with translation and commentary. Go one step further. Call the family. Sit down together as a family and say, okay, I'm going to read 3 verses. I'm going to read the translation. I'm going to read the commentary. Let's listen to it together. And then inshallah, everybody in the household can benefit as well. Views on the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And what are we going to talk about today? Well, views on the channel, Islam, as we know, is a complete code of life. Everything that is in our life is there for us. And we can go back to the Quran, we can go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from that we can get great advice of how to live our lives. And Islam is such a thing that we don't need to go anywhere else. We don't need to go anywhere else for any guidance. And in the same way, viewers of my channel, Islam guides us of not only how to have our personal relationships, how to have our worship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, it also guides us about how to have our relationships with each other as well. How to have our relationships with our parents, with our children, with our neighbors, with our colleagues, etc. And at the same time, Islam also guides us how to generate our halal income. And it's very, very important in Islam that your income is halal. And there's methods that we need to make sure that we employ to ensure that we do have an halal income. And today what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about one source of income. And when I say one source of income, one of the biggest sources of income is business and a trading, being trading in things, being business in things. And in that, there is a blessings as well. And inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about how to be a successful trader. Islam has given us the guidelines. Inshallah, we're here to learn, and I hope we can learn it today. But before we begin and talk about this topic in detail, inshallah, the Nathwan is sitting and we're going to listen to the daily kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya habib Allah. تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا، تیرے ٹکڑوں چھوڑ کے صدقہ تیرا صلی اللہ علیہ یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ. وہ سوئے لالا زار پھرتے ہیں, وہ سوئے لالا زار پھرتے ہیں, وہ سوئے لالا زار پھرتے ہیں, وہ سوئے بدر یوں ہی خوار پھرتے ہیں, در بدر یوں ہی خوار پھرتے ہیں, در بدر یوں ہی خوار پھرتے ہیں, اس گلی اس گلی کا گدا ہوں میں جس میں, اس گلی کا گدا ہوں میں جس میں, مانگتے تاجدار پھرتے ہیں, مانگتے تاجدار جاتے ہیں چار پھرتے ہیں, پانچ جاتے ہیں چار پھرتے ہیں, پانچ جاتے ہیں چار پھرتے ہیں, ہر چرا مزار پر قدسی, ہر چراغ مزار پر قدسی, کیسے پروانوار پھرتے ہیں, کیسے پروانوار پھرتے ہیں, کیسے پروانوار پھرتے ہیں, وہ سوئے لالا زار پھرتے ہیں, تیرے دن اے بہار پھرتے ہیں,
اور کوئی کیوں پوچھے تیری مات رضا کوئی کیوں پوچھے تیری بات رضا کوئی کیوں پوچھے تیری بات رضا تجھ سے شیدا شیدا ہزار پھر وہ سویلا ہزار پھر تیرے دل بہار
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Whenever this kalam is mentioned, there's one verse that I always seems to hit me, that five go and only four come back. And the author is talking about the fact that when we go to the graveyard, five people will be going, four people will carry the coffin, they'll coffin the bear, and they'll carry the person to the graveyard, but only four will return, meaning that five go there, four return, one stays there. And who is that one person? That person is a person that's passed away. And it's something that you need to reflect on, that that day will happen, viewers and with the channel. And no matter how much you put shit to the back of your mind, you can try and forget about it, you can try and ignore it, you can try and do whatever you want. It is the one certainty that we have in life. And the more you read about the Deen of Islam, the more you read about the companions, you read about the pious predecessors, they all constantly tell us to reflect about death. And I think, you know, as viewers of Mother Channel, I think one thing that if you want to have this God consciousness, if you want to have this consciousness of your responsibilities, of your role, of your destiny, then you need to read more. The more you read, the more you become aware of these sort of things. And, you know, I've been, you know, coming here on this Rise and Shine program. And for me, I've learned so much. I've learned so much because I'm reading, I'm learning, and I'm acquiring more knowledge of the deen. And I think if we all did this, if we all learned more, acquired more, we'd have this God conscious more, and you become more aware of your actions. And once you become aware of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you, once you become aware of that, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla, you'll change the route of your life. You'll change the course of your life, and hopefully, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, when you are that one person that goes, you know, when the five go and the four come back, and you are that one person that stays behind, i.e. you enter your dark and lonely grave, then I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we live our life in such a way that our dark and lonely grave becomes one of the gardens of paradise. Something that we need to think about, something that we need to reflect on, something that we need to be aware of, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Viewers of the channel, today we're talking about trade, being a trader, being a businessman. And we're going to take some sayings from specific companions and some sayings from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some ayats from the Holy Quran as well. Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu was a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was also a successful businessman. He was a successful trader. And so today, hopefully, we'll get a few sayings from him as well. It is said that he was asked about the secret of him being a successful businessman. He was a successful businessman and he was asked the secret. You know, everybody tries to go to a businessman nowadays and say, what's the secret of your success? What's the secret of your success? How did you become successful? And he said, I never bought anything without seeing it, and I've never rejected little profit, and whoever Allah Azza wa Jalla wants, he grants him blessings. I've never bought anything without seeing it. I've never rejected a little profit, and whoever Allah Azza wa Jalla wants, he grants him the blessings. And from this views of the channel, we can learn that in this particular case, it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Trade, business is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if we realize this, so when we are successful in business, if you become a successful business and your business is thriving, then don't just think, oh, it's my hard work. It's my hard work. It's because of my hard work that I have achieved all this. It's because of my hard work, because of the decisions I made, the decisions, yes, I made at the time. I made the right decisions at the time. I decided to buy this product at the time when it was in great demand, and I sold this product at the right price. I did this, I. And when we start doing this, I, then we're at loss. All of it is through a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because viewers of Mother Channel, as you know, for every business that is successful, there are also businesses that are not successful as well. So we need to be thankful of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We need to be thankful of Allah Azza wa Jalla, whatever we are blessed. And you may say, okay, you may say, yeah, I work hard. I work day and night to establish this business. Yeah, I sacrificed my family. I sacrificed my leisure. I sacrificed all of these things to acquire and make this business successful. And I work so hard. Views of Mother Channel, just reflect. Are there not other people that work hard as well? Are you the only person that works hard? Are you the only person that works so hard? Do not other people work hard? People are working hard even though they're not in a position to be able to run a business. They're working in factories, they're working in labouring jobs, they're working day on daily wages. And because of this, the hard work that they're putting in, and you think you're working harder? If you think you work hard, then try and go and do one of these daily wages jobs where you are digging up the road all day, where you're digging pits all day, where you're carrying bricks all day. These labourers' job and a daily job, and ask yourself, my job is easy. You realise that your job is easy and you're lucky. And then you'll see those businessmen as well. Those businessmen that sit all day, yeah, and all they've got to sell is 5 or 6 pence. These poor people, you see them sitting at the side of roads. They don't have a shop, they don't have a mall, they don't have a plaza like you have, they don't have a factory like you have. They're sitting there on the side of the streets selling products, selling small goods for a small change. And they're struggling, they're striving, they're putting in the time. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has not blessed them with opportunities. Allah Azza wa Jalla has not blessed them with the opportunity that they have that money to invest it in that business. Allah Azza wa Jalla has not given them opportunities. You have been given them opportunities. So if you think you are successful through your own efforts, then you're wrong, viewers of the channel. It is all through a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But he also mentioned in there two other things. He mentioned the fact that he never bought a product without seeing it. And again, there's a guidance there for us, buying products without seeing the product. You should see what you are buying. See what you are buying so that, and there are many reasons behind this, because if you see what you are buying, then afterwards you don't have any doubt. And then you don't have any doubt, because if a person explains something to you and you see it without buying, then that person afterwards, it's not the case it is, then you'll start to distrust that person and et cetera, et cetera. So make sure you see the product before you're buying it. And also he said that he never rejected a little profit. He was never greedy. He never said, no, I want to make £1 million, otherwise I'm not going to make anything. Either I become a millionaire or I don't become anything. No, he wasn't greedy. He dealt in small profit margins. He saw the product and he believed everything was a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This particular companion, viewers of the channel, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam, radiallahu anhu, was a great example of piety for others to follow. He passed away in the blessed month of Jamadul Akhir. And in relation to his blessed us, we will listen to a little bit about his life as well. It is said that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu was very honest. Many times people used to place their belongings in his security. He used to come and give his belongings, say, can you look after this? Amongst them, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Miqat radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masood, and several other companions appointed Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu as a guardian over the wealth after their death. So when, to the extent that, you know, they asked him to distribute the inheritance, that whenever I pass away, you are the person that will deal with this. Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam would look after the wealth with absolute honesty, and he would spend on the children from his own earnings. Viewers of Mother Channel, this, our pious predecessors, they were righteous people, they were truthful people, they were honest people, they were selfless people. And not only that when they were given this wealth, they would use this wealth and spend and create more, you know, on the family and on the children that they were told of, and they would spend their own wealth on them as well. But nowadays, viewers of the channel, do people think we're honest? Would people say to you, okay, my children are small, I want you to look after all of my wealth until my children are old. I want you to care for the needs of my children, the education, the clothes, the food, everything. Look after them, do everything for them. And whatever is left from my estate, my wealth and everything, do that for them. And then when they get to an age, give it to them. And would we invest that money? And whatever profit we get from that money, would that money be spent on the children? Or would we say, well, it's a great opportunity for me to make money? And just a simple thing, would people even entrust us with anything? Would people say, okay, brother, can you just keep this mobile phone? Or keep this PC tablet, or keep this money of mine. I'm going away for a couple of months. I'm going to Pakistan, I'm going there. When I come back, I'll take it off you. Yes, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking to you, yes, there are a few people I would personally trust, but I wouldn't trust everybody. And that, again, why wouldn't I trust everybody? Is it because that we have become untrustworthy? Is it because people think that we're not trustworthy? And because a lot of us have become untrustworthy people nowadays, then that affects the people that are trustworthy. So those people that people are honest, they get tarnished with the same brush. And it's something to reflect on, viewers of Mother Church. Why don't people trust people now? Why don't people trust, after trusting people now, why don't people believe that other people are honest? And it's because, viewers of Mother Channel, as a general rule, and when I say as a general rule, I'm not saying everybody, as a general rule, a lot of us have become untrustworthy. A lot of us have become unhonest. A lot of us will look for an opportunity to seize other people's wealth. A lot of us will look for an opportunity to remove goods from other people. A lot of us will look for an opportunity to get an upper hand on people. And that, again, is a sad state of affairs, viewers of Mother Channel. It is a sad state of affairs if that's what become of us, that as Muslims, we are not honest people. We're not honest people and people don't trust us. People used to leave the daughters with them. People used to leave the wealth with them. We used to leave the gold with them. People used to leave everything with the honest people, the Muslim people. Even the non-Muslim people used to leave it with them and trust them. But now, why? Why have we gone to such laws now that we'll steal from people, we'll rob from people, we'll swindle people, we'll bribe people, we'll do anything just to make a quick pound, a quick dollar, a quick rupees, a quick run. We'll make this money so easy. And we don't care nowadays, viewers of Mother Channel. We don't care that it's haram. We don't care where the money's coming from as long as the money's coming. We don't care where the source is. And you'll actually hear soul saying, well, I don't care as long as I get my car. I don't care as long as my kitchen's done. I don't care as long as I can have that house. I don't care what you do. You know, even our sisters, they put pressure on the husbands. I don't care where you get the money from as long as I have a new 7-seater car. I don't care where you get the money from as long as my kitchen's done. I don't care where you get the money from as long as I get the extension done in the house. I don't care where the money comes from as long as we can move out of this area and can move to that area and have a house in that area. And, you know, this whole household puts pressure on individuals to generate income, having this unthankfulness, not being thankful for what you've got. And if you are thankful for what you've got, then you will be more inclined to go towards halal means. But when you're not thankful, when you want more and you're not happy with what you've got, then what happens is you step over the boundaries from halal to haram. And once you've stepped over the boundaries, then you're not bothered then. You don't care. You remove yourself from effectively this playing field, if you want to call it, this playing field of halal, and you'll remove you going to yourself in this playing field of haram, because the haram playing field is so much greater than the halal playing field. And in that playing field, you don't care. You'll earn money from whatever source. You don't care whether you're getting it from drugs. You don't care whether you're getting it from alcohol. You don't care whether you're getting it from insurance fraud. And nowadays, viewers of Mother Channel, it's so easy. It's so easy to get haram income. I bought a car recently, and I get a phone call from a company and saying to me that, oh, we believe that you've had an accident. Do you want to put an injury claim in? I said, I've not had an accident. Are you sure you've not had an accident? You know? And so, no, I've not had an accident. So if you say that you've had an accident, we can claim up to £5,000 for you for a neck injury. We can claim up to £7,000 for a back. I can't remember the figures, but we can claim this amount for a back injury. We can claim this amount for a neck injury. I'm going, I've not had an accident. So it's very, very easy. All you have to say is that you've had an accident. And don't worry, we'll sort it out. And I said, well, look, I've not had an accident. Sir, are you the owner of this car? And they read out the registration number of this car. And I'm going, yes. Well, it's your car, sir. We've got it on records that you've had an accident. You maybe, just check your car, sir. Maybe there's some marks on your car. And I said, look, I've not had an accident. Please remove my details from your records. I have not had an accident. And you know, for five minutes, this person was trying to convince me that, look, just say you've had an accident. Just say you've got a neck pain. To the extent he said, look, you must have a neck pain. You probably wake up in the morning, you don't even realize. And yeah, you know, I'm at that age now. When I wake up in the morning, my back does hurt, my neck does hurt, and I have to wake up and I stretch myself every morning. So yes, when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel as strong as I used to be, so to speak. But that's not because of an accident. I can't claim that. But sir, you must have an headache. And I said, look, I get headaches all the time. I wake up being feeling stiff all the time. But it's not because of an accident. And as I finally, you know, I struggled to get him off the phone. But I thought to myself afterwards, how easy is it? How easy is it to earn an haram income? I could have just said, yes, I've got a headache. Yeah, there's no machine in this world now that can diagnose, can check whether there's a headache there or not. And I can say, yes, I've got a neck ache. Yeah, I've got a backache. And you know, you have pains, don't you? You have pains in your body and you can say, yeah, I've got this pain. And you don't have to say when you got this. Oh, well, I got this pain. Yeah, I don't know. But it was around the time of the accident. After that, I can't remember. Yeah, but I've had that pain since then. Okay, £5,000. Okay, £6,000. Okay, £3,000. What is this? You know, that money that you've generated through a haram income, that will not benefit you, viewers of the channel. You may feel happy, you may feel good that you've generated that money, but that will not benefit you. I remember again, many, many years ago, there was a person, I knew him, and he was very, very proud of the fact that he'd done a fraud, to the extent that he'd done a fraud of £1 million fraud. And he was so proud of this. And I remember him showing me the check for a third of it, £333,000. And he said, I'm going to get two more checks for this. And he was so proud of this. And after that, our paths separated. I didn't see him for many years. Many years later, I sat down and I was talking with him, asking about his life. And because I thought to myself, well, he was a millionaire back then. He must be really, really well now. And he wasn't. And he this was his words. He said to me that whilst that money was in our household, I had nothing but trouble. Nothing but problems. Yes, I had £1 million in the bank. Yes, I was deemed a rich person. Yes, I was deemed a millionaire. But I had all my, for as long as that money stayed in my house, I had one trouble after another trouble, one problem after another problem. Be it problems with his spouse, be it problems with his children, be it problems with all sorts of things, be it illness, health, be it the fact that whatever he, other business he touched with them, they collapse, they fall apart. He had no blessings in his income. And as a result of that, he went down and down and down. And during that period, obviously, all the pain and the suffering that he had. So he had that £1 million. But as a result of that £1 million, he had pain and suffering. So this mindset, viewers of the Money Channel, that money is the source of happiness, it's not the source of happiness. But if your money is from halal income, then you'll have the peace of the mind. If your money comes from a source where you're happy, that it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, you'll be happy. Once again, viewers of the Money Channel, I've digressed a little bit from the topic, but I'll try and come back now before we go to the reminder of the day. With regards to business, viewers of the channel, in regards to trading, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us in such a way that, you know, I'm sitting here today and I'm drinking a cup of tea, right? I'm drinking this cup of tea. I needed that. Now, I did not go and find the clay for this pot. I did not make that pot. I did not source the chemicals to buy the paint and then paint this pot. I then did not plant seeds for tree leaves, and I made that into a tree and then got the tree leaves off and crushed it and made it into tea leaves. And then I not only did I not do that, I did not get a sugar plantation and plant some sugar cane so that I can make the sugar. I then did not purchase a cow, feed the cow, look after the cow and get the milk out of it. And as a result of all of them things, you know, the clay from the ground, the moulding of the clay pot, the paint, the chemicals, the tree, the milk, the sugar, all of them things, them sources, I didn't do that. I bought the cup, or somebody bought the cup. Somebody bought the tea bags. Somebody bought the sugar. Somebody bought the milk. Oh, and yeah, we had a kettle, and a kettle, all the electronic components that that's built in, and the source of electricity. I didn't build a generator here. And as a result of that, all of these things I did not do. What did I do? I bought it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has distributed all of this work amongst us. That somebody will be responsible for making cups. Somebody will be responsible for making tea leaves. Somebody will be responsible for producing the sugar and the sugar from the sugar cane. Somebody will have a farm and he will produce the milk. Somebody will have a factory and he will produce the plastic. Somebody will use that plastic and make a kettle. Someone will have the coal and send it to the foundry. From that foundry, we will generate electricity, or whether it's oil or whatever the electricity is generated from. The electricity plant. Somebody made the cables, and as a result of that cables, the electricity came to my house. Somebody installed all the instruments here, the sockets and the plugs and the light switches, so that I have the use of that electricity here. And all this has been distributed. And as a result of this distribution, life is so much easier. Just think, if you could not rely on anybody, if you had to do anything, I would never be able to drink a cup of tea if I had to do everything. If I had to do everything to make this cup of tea from the source of the cup, the milk, the sugar, the tea bag, everything, I would not be able to have a cup of tea. So this is the distribution. And as a result of this, this is again a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, that we all have these trades distributed amongst ourselves so that we can all be part of the community. And all this community comes together as one ummah, and that is how we survive. And this again is a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal, a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, that we have this mindset, that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us this mindset to be able to do this. Viewers of Money Channel, we're watching Rise and Shine. And once again, I've gone over the time where we have the daily reminder. I have this bad habit, please forgive me. We're now going to go to the daily reminder. What is the daily reminder? Again, the daily reminder is exactly what it says. A daily reminder to make us think, to make us reflect, and hopefully to make us change. Let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. And today, inshallah, Azawajal, I've taken a daily reminder from this very beautiful words of the glorious Quran. Allah Azawajal, He mentions in the Quran, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Yani, do not be slackened in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in many places about the remembrance of Himself. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wa la takfurun. Allah Ta'ala also mentions that, O believers, you remember me and I shall remember you as well. Now when we remember Allah Azza wa Jal, just imagine when Allah Ta'ala will remember us, such a high rank that person will be, that Allah Ta'ala will be remembering that person. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala will have mercy upon that person. Allah Ta'ala will shower His blessings upon that person when it means that Allah Azza wa Jalla will remember that person. And always remember to yourself, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Always read this verse of the Holy Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, we will not be slackened off. What happens? Because we are humans, generally, you know, we start to slack off. We'll do something good and then we'll slack off, we'll back off. And then what will happen is, slowly the shaitan, he will whisper in our minds, in our hearts, and he will take us away from that ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as Muslims, we should be getting stronger and stronger. You know, someone asked a pious person that how would a person be strong in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal? And one of the things that the pious person, he says that when your age is increasing, your piety should be increasing as well. Now remember, ask yourself, when was the last time that I remembered Allah Azza wa Jal just for the sake of Allah? Not because I'm going to get good deeds, not because I'm going to be granted paradise because of this, just for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Never ever slacken off, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has given us this power. Once a pious person, he was walking through a jungle and he was doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the shaitan came to him and the shaitan whispered in his mind, oh yeah, that you are remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. Do you get a reply from it? And he says, no, I don't. And he goes, so why are you remembering Allah Azza wa Jal when you are not getting a reply from Him? So the shaitan worked on him. And what happened was, he stopped the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he had another thought. He heard a voice from the unseen that, oh person, tell to the shaitan, say to the shaitan, and ask yourself, who gave you this power to remember Allah Azza wa Jal? And the person, he said that, Allah is the one who gave me power. So Allah Ta'ala is remembering you. Because you are remembering Him, Allah is giving you the power that you are remembering Him today as well. Let's all ask ourselves. Sometimes when we slack off, we'll be offering our salah, and then ma'azallah, we'll start to slack off. We'll be reciting durood upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then we'll start to slack off as well. We'll be going to the masjid to offer our 5-time salah, then we slacken off. This is the time that we get hold of our nafs, we get hold of our ego, and we say to the nafs that, no, I will worship Allah Azza wa Jal, I will remember Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah Azza wa Jal, that will reignite the jazbah, the enthusiasm, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be successful in remembering our Rabb Azza wa Jal. Remember, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned inside the glorious Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I have created the jinns and the humans for my worship. So Allah Azza wa Jal has created, we have created the jinns and humans for my worship. So we were created for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. We were not created so therefore we can waste our time. We were not created that we spend our time in the markets. We were not created that we spend our times in football fields. We were not created that we can go out and, ma'azallah, waste our precious time. No, we were created to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Every time, whenever this thought comes into your mind, always remember this verse of the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, once we start to remember our Rabb Azza wa Jal again, and inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, once we are more powerful, that we do not get slackened off from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will be successful in this world and in the hereafter. And this is what this life is all about, to please your Rabb, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal in such a manner that our ibadat, our worship is all accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then whatever Allah Ta'ala has planned for the Muslims in the hereafter, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we can enjoy the better life of the hereafter. May Allah Azza wa Jal give me and all of us the ability to remember Him. Let me just mention to you last time, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Ya Allah, we remember you. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, we will never slacken off. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, a good reminder there from Hafiz Rafakat Atariya Mubalik here in the UK. And I think, you know, I was listening to that, I was thinking that if as a Muslim we understand our purpose in life, why we are here, then every other thing I say, every other speech that you hear, every other program that you hear on Madani channel is secondary. The first and foremost thing is understanding our purpose in life and understanding what is going to happen to us. And I remember I came into the environment of Dawah Islami probably more than 20 years ago now. And I remember very, very early a Mubalik from South Africa, believe it or not, inshallah. I'm hoping that one day we can get him with us on Rise and Shine. There was a Mubalik from South Africa and I was listening to one of his speeches and he gave us the example. He said that, you know, when you're watching a sport, when you're watching a game, a football, be it the, let's say it's the cricket final, it's the World Cup final, or it's the cricket, or it's the World Cup football final. And what happens is, during that game, you're watching it, and your emotions are high and low, you're getting angry when one of your players has not done what they're supposed to do, you get happy when one of your players has done what they should have done, you're happy when they scored or they made some runs or whatever it is. And what happens is your emotions are high, low, happy, maybe you're getting angry, you're getting emotional, everything. You get into the game and you're really, really, really part of the game. And then what happens is right at the end of the game, and if it's a football match, right at the end of the game, the whistle's blown. The whistle's blown. And when the whistle's blown, what happens is you take a big deep breath. Okay, it's over now. And you're either happy because your team's won, or you're sad because your team's lost. But then you come out of that bubble. You come out of that bubble and you go back to reality. You go back to your normal life. And so during that period of time, that 90 minutes or however long that game was, your emotions are here, there and everywhere. And then the final whistle's blown and you go back to reality. Viewers of Madani Channel, this is what this dunya is like. In this world, we have our emotions high, low, happy, sad, angry, upset, emotional, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we become successful in this or we become unsuccessful in that. Or we're happy with this or we're not happy with that. And we have problems that we face throughout our life. But then what happens is, you know, the final whistle, when the final whistle is blown effectively, when you breathe your last, you go back to reality. And the reality is, viewers of Madani Channel, that we are going to be in that dark and lonely grave. The reality is that we are going to have to cross the bridge of Sirat. The reality is that the day of judgment will come. The reality is that there is hell and paradise. And if only we realize that. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran that, lo, this world is a pastime, it is like a game. The hereafter is the true place for us, if only we realize. If only we realize what the hereafter is there, that is our true destiny. And once we realize what our true destiny is and that we're only here, we're like on a bus stop, we're waiting for the bus to come and take us. We stood at the bus stop, and at that bus stop we might be doing something, and we're just waiting for the bus to come and take us. And when it's our turn to get on the bus, we'll get on the bus. And then we'll be taken. We'll be taken to that dark and lonely grave. But once we understand that, once we understand our purpose in life, then inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we can make a change. Once again, viewers of my channel, I seem to digress from the topic every single day. Please forgive me for all that. And what happens is, as a result of that, I have so much I want to say to you about the topic, and I don't get that out because I'm talking about other things as well. But inshallah, I'll try and cover as much as possible. Back to what we're talking about today. We're talking about trade and business, and obviously a successful trader. And viewers of my channel, undoubtedly commerce, trade, is a good and it's a permissible act. And that's why we see that the blessed companions of our Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would trade with each other. They also used to trade in clothes with each other. Similarly, Islamic scholars and pious people after them did the same. But they never disregarded the business principles as prescribed by Islam. Everything was within the bounds of Islam. Everything was in the bounds of Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayat number 29, translation from Qanzul Imam. All believers, consume not unjustly the property of one another amongst yourselves, except it be a trade by your mutual consent. Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Maki, Haytami Shafi, Ramatullahi Ta'ala said, in this blessed verse, Allah Azza wa Jal has clearly stated that trade is permissible on the condition that it is to be done with the party's consent, and consent can be obtained provided that there is no cheating and corruption. Therefore, the one who wants to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who wants safety of his religion and the world and the hereafter and respect, should make efforts for his religion and should never follow anything related to cheating or corruption in business. Cheating or corruption in business. And again, normally we see that as well. That's happening as well, viewers of my channel. We cheat with each other. We don't tell people the defects in the product. We'll sell something and not be afraid to say that it's got this problem and it's got that problem in it. We'll hide it. We'll put a sticker over it. We'll stand in front of it. We'll grab it with our hand when we're selling it. This cup's got a chip in it. And so I will grab it where there's a chip. There's a chip here, for example. I'll grab it and say, there's my cup. Do you want to buy the cup? And I'll sell the cup. And the buyer will only realize afterwards when he got home and I've taken my thumb away and there's a chip there and he never saw it before. Because we've hidden the defect. Yes, we sold that product. But we sold it by cheating. We sold it by cheating. So, viewers of the channel, but we also need to understand that earning a halal sustenance is a need for us. It is a need for our parents, for our children, for our family members, and by any means that is permissible, we should do this. And the attention to earn on a halal income has been focused many times in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla keeps on stressing this, to make sure that you earn a halal income. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and we have made the day for seeking livelihood. In another ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, the disperse in the land and seek the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sayyidina Khab bin Ujra, Ramadullah Ta'ala, has narrated once that the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting with his blessed companions and a young man passed by. And this person, he was a powerful and he was strong man. He was a strong, upright person and he was a powerful person. And the blessed companion said that would it be good that he spent his youth and he spent his strength in the way of Allah. They saw a strong person, a young person, and they said that, you know, wouldn't it be good if that person spent his youth, spent his strength in the way of Allah. Upon hearing this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if a person comes out to look for sustenance for his small children, then he is in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. If a person comes out to look for sustenance for his old parents, he is in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. And if he has come out to protect himself from begging from people and eating haram, then he is in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. However, if he has come out of ostentation and pride, then he is in the way of shaitan. So this particular person, he was a tall person, powerful looking person. And the companion said that if this person had come out to worship Allah azza wa jalla, spend it in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, then it would be a great thing that he's in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if he's out to earn livelihood for his children, for his parents, if he's there to earn a halal income to avoid begging, then he is also in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. But if he's out there to show pride and to show ostentation, then he's in the way of shaitan. One thing I want to mention here, viewers of the channel, before we go to the daily hadith. A lot of people have heard these particular hadiths where they say that, you know, when you are earning a halal income, when you are earning money to provide for your children, you are in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. You are. Okay, agreed. But a lot of people then they will use that as an excuse. As they will use it, well, I'm in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, I don't have to read my namaz, do I? Yeah, because I'm in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. I'm in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, so I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that, I don't have to do all these things. I'm in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, I'm earning a halal income, so I don't have to fast during the month of Ramadan. I'm in the way of Allah azza wa jalla to provide for my parents, to provide for my children, so I haven't got time to go on Hajj. And so what happens is we make these feeble excuses, and they are excuses. And they remember this, viewers of Mother Channel, for me, you're talking to me, your excuses may wash. Your excuses may be valid. You may be able to convince me that, oh yeah, okay, Tiga, I need it, I'm desperate, da 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 da. Even then, you probably won't be able to convince me. But on the day of judgment, these excuses will not be valid. There is no excuse to not read your namaz 5 times a day. There is no excuse to fast during the month of Ramadan. There is no excuse to perform the Hajj that is further upon you. Earn your halal income, but remember Allah azza wa jalla. Work the hours that you need to work, but remember to read your namaz 5 times a day. Work hard, earn money. I'm not saying don't. I'm not saying work hard. I'm not saying don't do the overtime. Do them extra hours. But remember, you must fast during the month of Ramadan. Yes, build up your bank balances so that you can build that house, that koti, that everything, get your children married. But at the same time, as soon as Hajj becomes farz upon you, you need to perform that Hajj. So don't make any excuses. Don't use the deen to make excuses for your action. Yes, you are in the way of Allah azza wa jalla if you're earning a halal income. But at the same time, you need to fulfill all of the commands of Allah azza wa jalla as well. And amongst them, like I said, fasting during the month of Ramadan, praying 5 times a day, performing the Hajj if it's farz upon you, and all of the other things that we talk about on a daily basis. But we must make sure that we fulfill them. Viewers of the channel, we've got the daily hadith. Let's see what we're going to learn today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah azza wa jalla, in today's daily hadith, we will hear of a few beautiful traits that we ought to implement in our daily lives, inshallah ta'ala. Sayyidina Mu'az ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, ittaqillah haythuma kunta wa atbi' as-sayyi'ata al-hasanata tahmuha, that have taqwa, fear Allah azza wa jal wherever you may be, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed which will wipe out the former bad deed. وَخَالِكِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and behave well towards the people. So in this hadith, 3 things have been mentioned. Firstly, taqwa. Taqwa, which means to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect oneself from the severe punishment of Allah ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and who also defines taqwa as fearing Allah, adhering to His commandments, being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed one with, and getting ready for the day of judgment. So taqwa is one of the most comprehensive aspects of Islam, one could say. The second piece of advice given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to follow up a bad deed with a good deed. Yani if one unfortunately ends up committing a sin, then he should immediately perform tawbah, he should repent and then revert to good deeds. And then subhanallah, the third piece of advice
from the most well-natured individual ever, none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to behave well towards the people by coming across to them with a good code of conduct and not harming them in any way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to ponder over this beautiful hadith and implement it in our lives so that we too can attain the blessings of both worlds. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And today we're talking about being a successful trader, being a businessman. And like we said at the beginning of the program, our deen of Islam is complete, that it guides us into every aspect of our life. It's to the extent that you do not need to go anywhere else for guidance. And that is why we keep on stressing to our viewers of Mother Channel to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Once you have the knowledge of the deen, then whatever path your life takes you, inshallah, azawajal, the deen of Islam will give you the answers for that. Alhamdulillah, we have a guest with us all the way from South Africa, Amiruddin Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Amiruddin Bhai, how are you? Alhamdulillah, la kulli hal. How are you, Medina?
Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Almighty Allah and sadqa of beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah. Amiruddin Bhai, we're talking about being, you know, in business, being a successful trader. And like I said just before we got you on that, alhamdulillah, Islam has given us a complete guide for every aspect of our life, of how we deal with them situations, how we deal with our parents, with our children, with our spouses, how we deal with our neighbors, how we deal on a day-to-day basis with people that we meet, and also guidelines with regards to business and trading. And I would wish if you can give us some madani pearls with regards to that. I've not had the chance yet to mention any of the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think I keep on getting digressing from the topic, unfortunately. So if you can give us any madani pearls that you wish, inshallah, as well, that our viewers can benefit from with regards to this specific topic.
I'm sure many of the viewers of Madani Channel involved in business, I'm sure they have read many books and articles on how to be successful in business. I'm sure they got numerous tips on how to become a successful trader. But today, I'm sure you mentioned some of this. I would like to talk about the lives of great personalities in Islam and how they became successful in business. And this is according to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I'd also mention briefly some successful Muslim businessmen and the values that they have imbibed to make them successful. But the first question you may want to ask yourself, why should I go into business and why should I become a successful trader? Well, you see, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was a great businessman.
SubhanAllah.
He had great ethics, matchless honesty, and obviously he made more money because when he handled the business of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and she had others handling a trade, but when our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam took over her business and a trade, he made so much money, more than anyone else, because of his ethics, his honesty, and obviously the barakah that he got with that. So our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is venerated, loved by billions of Muslims throughout the world, we must know that he is just not only a prophet of Islam, but he also has directed people. And yeah, when you talk about people, whoever follows these ethics, they will become successful. Obviously, for Muslims, this is very important because he set standards in all facets of life, including business transaction and even trading. So these values are clearly laid down in the Quran and Hadith. Without going much into detail because of limited time, I will just touch on a few of the Hadith regarding business. Where beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one Hadith, he mentioned, be careful of taking excessive oath in sale. Though it'll find market, it'll reduce in barakah. And you find many people take qasam and they sometimes take false oath. If something is not fresh, they will swear it's fresh. If you're selling fish, the fish maybe 1 week old. The person to sell, he said, no, I got this fish this morning. It's fresh. And the sway and the... So these things reduce your barakah. He also forbade transaction in things that are haram, like alcohol, intoxicating drugs, and other intoxicants. Now, this is also for some Muslims who deal in drugs. They sell drugs, they are drug dealers. This is totally haram. Who make money and who spend on the path of Allah. Because Almighty Allah talks in the Quran, there are many hadiths about spending on his path. One is compulsory zakat that you have to give. And this way, Muslims who spend over and above the zakat, you find some people have lots of money, they're too scared to spend even zakat properly. Now that, you know, it brings, but it robs you of barakah. Because it's mentioned that zakat does not belong to you. It belongs to the poor that deserve it. And if you're keeping that, you're contaminating your wealth and it doesn't bring you back barakah. But those who spend freely and openly in the path of Allah, you find that, alhamdulillah, they're always getting, because the more you spend in the path of Allah, the more you'll get. So becoming a successful trader, obviously, you'll be able to give zakat, you'll be able to give sadqa, you'll be able to give charity. So when you have excessive wealth, we must encourage each other that we must spend in the path of Allah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was a businessman. And so there's many of the companions. If you look at the life of Huzur Ghawsa Azam radiallahu anhu, he was a businessman. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he was a businessman. But they spent in the path of Allah. So there's nothing wrong with people doing business. And obviously, if you have self-sufficiency, it gives you dignity, it gives you honor. It gives the wealth and money that you have, you can achieve your purposes. One of the main purposes is to please Allah. We have to make wealth and we must remember to give money in the path of Allah. That means if you think about and reviving the sunnah of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar, it mentioned that once when beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for contribution for a war, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu brought 50% of what he owned.
Allah.
Was thinking that today I'm going to overtake Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And when he waited expectantly, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq brought and came whatever he had. And beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what did you leave behind? He said, nothing. I've brought everything that I own. So this is reviving the sunnah of giving in the path of Allah.
JazakAllah, Muridin Bhai. I'm sorry, we're going to have to cut you short. We've got another guest that's waiting for us. JazakAllah for your Madri Pearl. There's so much I could say with regards to what you've said so far. And inshallah, if I get an opportunity, I will mention some of them things at the end of the program. But JazakAllah, Muridin Bhai, for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, that was Amiruddin Bhai from South Africa. We're going to go now to a small package and hopefully we've got a guest waiting for us, inshallah, azza wa jal. We've got a small package. Let's go to the package of the day, inshallah, azza wa jal. But we'll be right back and another surprise guest for you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Qibla direction ma'loom na ho to kya kare? Agar aisi jaga par hai jahan qibla ki pehchan ka koi zariya nahi hai. نہ کوئی ایسا مسلمان ہے جس سے پوچھ کر معلوم کیا جا سکے نہ وہاں مسجدیں محرابیں ہیں تو تحری کیجئے یعنی سوچئے اور جدھر قبلہ ہونا دل پر جمے ادھر ہی رخ کر لیجئے آپ کے حق میں وہی قبلہ ہے تحری کر کے نماز پڑھی بعد میں معلوم ہوا کہ قبلے کی طرف نماز نہیں پڑھی نماز ہو گئی لوٹانے کی حاجت نہیں ایک شخص تحری کر کے سوچ کر نماز پڑھ رہا ہو دوسرا اس کی دیکھا دیکھی اسی ڈائریکشن نماز پڑھے گا تو نہیں ہوگی دوسرے کے لیے بھی تحری کرنے کا حکم ہے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ a little package there of how to show the direction of the Qibla wherever you are here in the UK it's quite easy really here in the UK that what we do is if you there's two ways of doing it one is if you're in a community you're in the middle of houses and you see the dishes that are on the house these sky dishes they point in the direction of the southeast so if you can see them directions then that's the direction of the Qibla and also the other way is if you can work out where north east west south is this is what again something like, and when we were young as children we were taught that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So depending on the time of the day, if you can see where the sun is and if it's setting, then it rises in the east, sets in the west, so that is the west. If it's rising, you can see that it's rising at the east. And once you've worked that out, from that you can work out where is southeast. And from here in the UK, the Qibla direction is approximately southeast. We have another guest with us, Hafiz Rifaqat, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, mashallah.
How are you, Hafiz?
Alhamdulillah, ya la ihsana wa yukharibi, okay?
Alhamdulillah. For our viewers of the channel, we're talking about being a successful businessman. And with that in mind, mashallah, Hafiz Saab is a businessman. I would say he is quite a successful businessman, Hafiz. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you.
Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla. I was listening to Amiruddin Bhai's business tips and I was writing them down, mashallah, Azza wa Jalla. Brilliant, subhanallah.
Today,
you know, when you talk about businessmen, you know, sometimes we only talk about people who've got big cars, who've got big homes, who've got a stash of money, you know. But if you look at Amiruddin Bhai mentioned a few of the stuff, mashallah, Azodan. Now, so what happens is, you know, truthness and how to do business properly, that is one of the biggest things. And there's so many opportunities, but there are so many people who are doing business, yet, you know, if they go to a Mufti Sahib and say, they sit with him, the answer will be no. And I talked to a few of the businessmen, and I was saying to them, that look, you know, this is not the right way that you're doing business. Go to Mufti Sahib, this is Darul Iftar number, and ask them. And he goes, no, because what's going to happen is they're going to say no, and we won't be able to do our business. So the thing is, ma'azallah, you know, are we going to continue doing, you know, wrong and haram? And in some cases, you know, that's going to affect your own livelihood. It's going to affect your own home. If you feed haram to your children, then, you know, you're not going to expect anything good from them. And the other thing is that, you know, truthfulness. I talked to a few businessmen and, you know, people have this concept, oh, if you don't lie, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, it's mulkavi jaiza. So basically, they're not only mufti, the businessmen, they become muftis themselves as well. So it's very hard.
You know, but the thing is, though, Hafsab, you just mentioned, though, that them people, that when you say to them, go to Darul Iftar, and they say no, yeah? They say no, but why? Because Mufti Sahib's going to say no. So it means that already in their hearts, they know it's wrong. For them particular people, to be honest, they don't need to go to Mufti Sahib because they have this nafs inside them saying, look, what I'm doing is wrong, and they won't do it. And regarding what you're saying about lying, people, you're right, people think that you have to lie. I remember, Hafsab, we went on a Madri Kafla, and we went abroad somewhere, and there were a lot of taxi drivers with me. And during the waqfa around where I'm resting, I'm lying down resting, and they're all talking to each other. And whilst they were talking to each other, they were trying to agree amongst themselves. They were all taxi drivers. They were agreeing amongst themselves, how much should we fiddle people? That they're saying that at the current rate, we can't make enough money. So if we all agree that instead of charging, I don't know, let's say it's £1 a mile, instead of charging £1 a mile, let's all charge £2 a mile, and the advertised rate is £1 a mile. If we all do it, we'll all be able to get away with it. So they were all agreeing to lie, and they were all agreeing how much they were going to lie. And when I said to him, what are you doing? And they said, bhai, we can't make money unless we do this. We can't make money unless we cheat. We have to cheat, otherwise we don't make income. And I said to him, so the whole world is full of cheaters, and that's how they're surviving. But this mentality, Afisab, that unless I lie, unless I cheat, I can't make money.
And again, you know, like I said, that's going to affect the people. Don't realize that it's going to affect their own children. I know a person who used to sell alcohol. Now, you know, he used to give, you know, the questions and answers to himself. Oh, no, it's jais. I've asked this Mufti Sahib, I've asked that Mufti Sahib. And, you know, wallahu alam which Mufti Sahib he was asking. Lekin what happened was, at the end of the day, his own sons became alcoholics.
It's not only that, Hafsab, I've seen it. I've seen it where people generate a haram income. And what happens is, even if their sons, like in your particular case, become alcoholic, but something down the line, because that haram income, that haram food that you are giving to children, affects them eventually. And you'll see that, you know, that not only to the extent that they become, you're all right, the example that you become alcoholic. I've known people that have left the fold of Islam. They become non-Muslims. And when you try and work out why, and you realize that, that the father ran an off-license for 20 years and fed the family with that. And so that has affected the family. And what people don't realize is, Hafsab, they do not realize the difference between halal and haram income and halal and haram food. And you know, for example, if we were to look at a chicken, yeah, a dead chicken, and if I was to put two chickens here on the table, dead chickens, yeah, and I was to say to you which one's halal, which one's haram, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. And one of them's halal, one of them's haram. So the food that you may eat, that everything that you have, because you do not know the source of it, it can be halal and haram. And I think we don't realize that. And as a result of feeding our families haram, it has an effect on them.
There's a story about a person who was a trader. You know, in them days, people used to travel quite a lot. So he went to this country and he was selling his stuff. And as he was selling them, it was cloth that he was selling. And you know, a customer came up to him and he says, "I want to buy this cloth." And he goes, "Fine, you know, this cloth, this is the price, but I've just reduced the price because I've just realized that there is a fault inside it." Allah, and the person, he says that, you know, if I had bought this for the price that you set first, which is a higher price, you know, I would never see you in my life probably again. And you could have made extra money. And he says that, "No, my deen doesn't allow me to do that." And that person, he bought the cloth later, he accepted Islam first. You know, so if we look at this, you know, and we ask ourselves, why am I doing business? You know, that's another question. We do a lot of market research, what products to sell, how much to sell. You know, we do all of that. Do we ever sit down and do a bit of market research? What I'm selling, is that jais or not for me? And then, you know, if it's not jais, then you'll have enough time, you know, to sort yourself out. You don't have to, you know, lie to sell your products. You don't have to defraud people. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mafhum is that the one who cheats is not amongst us. You know, so that's a very big statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the one who cheats is not amongst us. You know, you sometimes, you give about taxi drivers. You know, that's just one example. I'm not going to blame everyone. Like, in sometimes people say, "Yeah, paise banne se 5 pound mein now 6 pound ke de agle ki pagal banai hua." And then you think to yourself, you know, you haven't made him a fool. You made, you know, yourself look like a fool as well. Yeah. Because on the day of judgment, you're going to be asked about it. So if you do business, you must do it according to the deen, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we all know Abu Bakr Siddiq. We all know Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. We all know Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We know them as the companions, and we know them as the imam of the masjids, and we know them as, you know, great sahabas. But all of these individuals were businessmen as well. You know, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, look at the taqwa he had in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and how much, you know, trust he had in the court of Allah. That one day he went to shop and he opened the shop, and as he walked in, 5 minutes later, a customer came in and he bought all the stock that was his daily target. So his target was fulfilled by one customer. So he says to his servant, "Lock the door, I'm going to the masjid." So he went to the masjid and he spent all his day there in the masjid. How many of us, including myself as well, the great businessman, how many of us will, you know, will ever do that?
I was just remembering that. I thought you were going to tell him, you know, lock the masjid, you know, close the shutter down and we'll go to the masjid.
Roller guest, you close the shutters.
Allah. But it's true though. I think what would happen is if we start making money, the problem is with making money, Hafiz Saab, is that greed comes in, doesn't it? Whereas when you start a business, you say, look, I need to make enough money so that I can, you know, make my £400, £500, or whatever it is that you set yourself a target. And, you know, you start with good intentions. You start with good intentions that if I can make this amount of money in 2 days, then for the other 5 days, I'll do the work of Allah Azza wa Jal. But what happens is that greed then comes in, doesn't it, Hafiz Saab? I've made my £500 now, but if I work an extra day, I'll be able to make £800. If I make an extra day, I'll be able to work £1,000. And so that good intentions at the beginning, shaitan will keep on enticing you that, look, you could do with a bit more money, couldn't you? And everybody could do with a bit more money, but this shaitanic whisper, you need to be firm in your intention. Like, for example, yourself, you say, okay, the great businessman, you've got this idea that you say, okay, I'm going to do this, and then for this amount of time, I'll spend in the way of Allah as well. But as you are in business, shaitan will whisper to you, Hafiz, why don't you just do a few more hours? Why don't you just do a little bit more? Why don't you just open up another shop? Why don't you just do this? And what will happen is you'll get to a point, Hafiz Saab, where you'll not be able to have any time left, any spare time at all, because shaitan will entice you that you've never got enough, you've never got enough, you've never got enough. Even though it's halal income, even though it's halal income, you've never got enough. And what happens is, astaghfirullah, you get to the extent where you're running after this halal income, but you're forgetting your commands. You're forgetting the fact that you have to pray 5 times a day, forgetting that you fast and perform your hajj, and it overtakes you. So again, making sure that you stay within these limitations is very hard as well.
That I know, mashallah, they've started a business in Dewsbury as well, and a few other cities as well. And, you know, they're doing good, but the thing is slowly, they're moving away, you know, from the Madani Mahol. And, you know, we need to understand that, you know, Madani Mahol for me is everything, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. And, you know, I can do business, but I always have this in mind that I don't want to be moving away from Madani Mahol. I was speaking to one Islam brother, and he goes, Raya, you're in business now as well, so we might not see you in a few years when you become a millionaire. No, and it's not going to be like that. Chalo pehle badal ta de na. Like it's not going to be like that. Like, inshallah, when you do it for the sake of the deen, what is your intention? So now what we need to understand is that business is not all about wealth. You know, business, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah Ta'ala will give you that status in that community where you can do a lot of work of deen. And I know a lot of, mashallah, brothers that are giving their money. You know, Khalid Bid, alhamdulillah, in Dewsbury, we're starting a new project. Again, you know, these were behind this project is a group of businessmen. So, you know, when Allah Ta'ala gives you wealth and money, you know, you should be giving it in the way of Allah. Amir al-Sunnah beautifully mentions in one of his Madani Muzakara that try to give at least 1% of your earnings in the way of Allah. So every Allah month, Allah, just put 1% on the side and give that as charity sadaqah.
Allahu Akbar. If only we could do it. But like you said that, you know, the businessman that you mentioned in Dewsbury, it makes you realize that, you know, the work of deen, everybody can be part of it. And so if you are earning business, if you are doing business, and you've not got time to go out and invite people to the masjid, you've not got time to go out and do beyond, you've not got time to do these things that we're doing, but everybody can be part. But I think it's, you know, at the beginning, I mentioned at the beginning a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that said that whatever business I did, it was a blessing from Allah azza wa jal. And I think having this mindset, Afisab, that whatever I've got, you know, whatever money I've got, it is from Allah azza wa jal. Otherwise, what happens is this this pride comes in. I worked hard for it, so let me do what I want from it. Why should I give it to the masjid? I've made the money, I worked hard for it. Why should I build a madrasa? I worked hard for it. Why should I build a well? I worked hard for it. And this is again another whisper of shaitan that overtakes people, isn't it?
Is that, you know, prioritize your time and prioritize your work as well. You know, you don't want to be working 24 hours where you're not giving time to your family. The most zulm that you can do is on your own self. You're not giving time to yourself. You know, I've seen businessmen where, you know, they're not the owners of the business. They're the workers or the cleaners. These were the owners of the businesses. So, you know, have time for yourself. If Allah has given you wealth, you know, again, like you said, a person always naturally wants more and more. Like, you know, those who are God-fearing, inshallah, so that, you know, they'll have a limit for themselves. And so many, you know, we talked about these great people. You know, what here people will say is, oh, the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, you know, we're not like them. No, we can never be like them. But can we not follow their footsteps? You know, by saying we can never be like them, we're trying to justify that what we are doing is right. That is wrong. If you are not getting time to offer your salah, and then what happens is, there's a new clip we're working on the social media, and it's a beautiful phrase. It says, why are you rushing into things in your salah? Because what you are rushing for, Allah is the creator of that as well. You know, so if you are offering your salah and you're rushing to do something else, you know, offer your salah, you know, alhamdulillah, with dignity and with khawfi khuda, because what you are rushing for, Allah is the creator of that as well. So you do your ibadat properly, Allah will take care of your affairs properly as well, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah, Fasam. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward you. May Allah Azza wa Jal make you prosperous, but at the same time, may Allah Azza wa Jal enable you to continue to do the work of deen, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Jazakallah, Fasam.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. MashaAllah. We just had Hafiz Rafaqat Attari, MashaAllah, who again, like all of us, we're all trying to do a little bit of business and trying to make our ways. But I remember two things I want to leave you with. Number one is that someone was asked, who is the richest person in the world? Who is the richest person in the world? And if I was to ask you who's the richest person in the world, you could probably go on your mobile phones and check, you know, richest man in the world, and names would come up. Names would come up from around the world in businesses, kings, or whoever they are. And you would say that this is the richest person in the world. And the reply from the pious person was that the richest person in the world is he who is happy with what he has got. He who is happy with what he has got is the richest person in the world. And another thing that I'd like to leave you with is our Nigrani Shura, he said that in our lives, if we divide our time into four segments, if we have these four segments in our life, we are successful. And he said that these four segments don't need to be equal, but it's like having when you make a dish, if you don't have salt in it, even though it's a little bit of salt, it's not right. If you don't have pepper, and these four ingredients are necessary in your life. And he said that these four ingredients are as follows. Number one, you need to earn money. We all need to earn money. We cannot just sit and wait. We all have to leave our homes. We all have to work and earn money. Secondly, we need to give time to our family. Without giving time to our family, then our families will suffer as well. Third, we need to give time to our personal time, our personal spiritual development time as well. And fourthly, we need to give time to the deen as well. And if you have these four ingredients in your life, then you're a successful person. And if one of them is missing, if you're not making money, then the other three, you know, you'll struggle. You become disgraced to the society, your family will disgrace you, the society will disgrace you, that you're just running around and you're not making money for you. If you don't give time to your family, then your family will suffer. You can be the richest person in the world. If you don't give any time to your own personal spiritual development, then you will suffer as well. And finally, giving time to the deen, returning back what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you and spending some time on the deen. And Amir al-Sunnah guides us, instructs us to try and spend at least 2 hours serving the deen on a daily basis. If only we could do that. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. And today we've been talking about being a successful businessman. And again, there was so much I wanted to say, but unfortunately time is against us. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all consult with the scholars with whatever business we do. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that all our incomes are halal and they're all spent in a halal way. May Allah Azza wa Jalla save us from the whispers of shaitan. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.